ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम् of Vedavyas translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 25. I'll read the Sanskrit. Uchishtale pananumodito dvijay Sakritsma bunje tadapasta kilbeshaha evam pravrittasya vishuddha chetasas tadharma evatma ruchif prajayate. Translation. This is Narad Muni speaking to Vyasadeva. Narad Muni relating the story of his previous life. So this verse describes once only, by their permission, he's referring to, anyway, if you know the story, you know it. Once only, by their permission, I took the remnants of their food, and by so doing, all my sins were at once eradicated. Thus being engaged, I became purified in heart, and at that time, the very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to me. Purport. Pure devotion is as much infectious, in a good sense, as infectious diseases. A pure devotee is cleared from all kinds of sins. The personality of Godhead is the purest entity, and unless one is equally pure from the infection of material qualities, one cannot become a pure devotee of the Lord. The Bhaktivedantas, as above mentioned, were pure devotees, and the boy became infected with their qualities of purity by their association and by eating once the remnants of the foodstuff taken by them. Such remnants may be taken even without permission of the pure devotees. There are sometimes pseudo-devotees, and one should be very much cautious about them. There are many things which hinder one from entering devotional service, but by the association of pure devotees, all these obstacles are removed. The neophyte devotee becomes practically enriched with the transcendental qualities of the pure devotee, which means attraction for the personality of Godhead's name, fame, qualities, pastimes, etc. Infection of the qualities of the pure devotees means to imbibe the taste of pure devotion always in the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. This transcendental taste at once makes all material things distasteful. Therefore, a pure devotee is not at all attracted by material activities. After the elimination of all sins or obstacles on the path of devotional service, one can become attracted, one can have steadiness, one can have perfect taste, one can have transcendental emotions, and at last one can be situated on the plane of loving service of the Lord. All these stages develop by the association of pure devotees, and that is the purport of this stanza. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputramatra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Grajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Matavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyatav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitam Sha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This morning we heard in the talk given by Mukunda Prabhu about the principle Sushushu Sharadhanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchihi Syat Mahat Seva Syat Mahat Sevaya Punyatirta Nishevanat, that by serving the devotees, great service is done, and by that Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevanat. By serving the devotees, one gets a taste for hearing about Krishna. And in this verse, in this section of Bhagavatam, we find Narad Muni instructing the same principle from his personal experience. How by serving the great devotees, he also became a great devotee. And of course, Narad Muni is such a devotee that he's giving Krishna consciousness to others all over the universe. Narad Muni also regularly goes to London. Do you know about that? If you go to our temple in London, if you look carefully, you'll see on both sides, there's the Radha Landanishvara, the deities are there in their Singhasana, and on each side you'll see a small Vyasasan, because Srila Prabhupada said that there should be a Vyasasan on each side of this Singhasana, one for Brahma and one for Narad, because he said every evening they come and join the Gaura Arati. Brahma Adi, Brahma Adi Devagone, they all come. Shiva Shuka Narada Preme Gada Gada. So he's here also. So Narad Muni is Brahma is the head of us. Brahma is the head of our sampradaya. Then Narad Muni, and Narad Muni, he's very active in preaching. And Srila Prabhupada, whose disappearance we're celebrating today, is a Bhaktivedanta. Srila Prabhupada uses this term. It's here in the Bhagavatam. He uses this term, Bhaktivedantas. They're pure devotees. And by their association, we can also become pure devotees. We can also be affected by their qualities. And everyone present here is getting the association of Srila Prabhupada. And of all the acharyas, that is evident in the activities of all the devotees who are hearing and chanting about Krishna very seriously in Krishna's service. So the pure devotees like Narad Muni, Srila Prabhupada mentions in one purport here in the first canto, Srila Prabhupada says that Narad Muni, he's kindly appearing here in the pages of Bhagavatam. He's present by discussion of him. When we discuss about Narad Muni, he's present. When we discuss about Srila Prabhupada, he's present. So in this way, we're not talking about some historical or mythological events, but the presence of the great acharyas, we can experience in our own lives, how they're influencing our lives. Now, today is Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. I'm going to look forward or speak on a subject which is more connected to the initiation ceremony, which is scheduled for 3 days from now, because there's something important I'd like to say about that. And I'd like to say it in English, and tomorrow is the Hindi program, and I won't get an opportunity to say that, which I need to talk about now. So, in Srila Prabhupada's service, I would like to address those devotees who, in 3 days' time, they schedule an initiation ceremony. So, as a servant of Srila Prabhupada, I have to give initiation. But I would request that those who are desirous of taking initiation, they know about the seriousness of that. And I would request that you not take initiation from me if you are not committed to becoming more advanced in discipline. In other words, don't think that it's all just by some special mercy, some blessing. You have to become a disciple, means you have to accept the discipline and be prepared for that. That will help you to advance. Blessings are important, of course, but you have your work to do. So understand that disciple means discipline. If you're not determined to be free of the irresponsible life of sense enjoyment, then please don't take initiation from me. That means that we have so many rules we have to follow. That's the meaning of disciple, discipline. There are many restrictions. It's not just no meat, no fish, no eggs, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication. But we have to divorce ourselves from this life of sense enjoyment, which is all around us. The whole society is full of udipanas, or inspirations, impetuses for sense enjoyment. We have to be determined to be free from that. Now, it's not that immediately we will be free from the desire for sense gratification, but to take initiation means to commit oneself to do all that is required to be free from everything that obstructs Krishna consciousness. Therefore, apart from the basic rules, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, chant 16 rounds, I've given some extra rules, which by following these rules, that will help you to advance in Krishna consciousness. And without following these things, it will be very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness, so there's no real meaning to take initiation anyway. These rules are displayed on my website. I'm going to go through them now to remind myself, because I didn't look at them in a long time, and also to remind yourselves that what we're getting into. It's a very big thing, actually. After millions of lifetimes, millions, trillions, zillions, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, the opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness in commitment. It's a very great opportunity and a very great commitment also. So those who request the great boon of initiation must demonstrate their commitment to reciprocate with the trust that they desire be placed in them. We're expecting the disciple to have tremendous trust in the person who they accept as their guru. But the guru has to trust them also to give them initiation. So we want to see that the candidates for initiation, they strictly follow the regulative principles. Without following these regulative principles, these four principles, there's no question of advancing in Krishna consciousness. One must be committed to daily chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You may think, yeah, well, we all know that. But we do find that there are devotees who, even after taking this commitment, they become lax, they become slack in this. And think that, well, maybe, I don't know what they think, but they don't follow. So it's really a commitment to finish chanting. And there should be an endeavor to chant with quality also. Not just mechanically going through that, but one has to learn how to chant the holy names with clarity and to make the practice, sadhana means practice, the practice to hear the holy names and pray to Krishna. We heard so much this morning from Mukunda Prabhu about hearing the message of Bhagavatam from devotees. So by that hearing, we become more and more convinced that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And then our chanting becomes, then we want to chant very sincerely, praying to Krishna for his mercy. So hearing and chanting, they go together. Now another point I made in this list, that I want to see that my disciples are committed to Srila Prabhupada's instructions and his movement, and to practicing devotional service throughout their lives. So taking initiation, it's not a matter of just, well, let's try it out and see. The trying out and seeing should have already been done. And one should be committed to staying in devotional service throughout their lives and life after life. I want to see that those who are taking initiation from me have faith that I'm a bona fide representative of the parampara and that I'm competent to guide the candidate on the path back to Godhead. So that's a very, great position I'm taking. I plan to speak on that. How can I dare to take such a position? But the faith has to be there. It's not something that I'm demanding arbitrarily, but this is the standard given in Shastra. We have to follow the rules of Shastra. So if one is to accept a guru, one has to approach with faith that this person is competent to guide me. Please be aware that I am considered by some members of this society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I am perceived by some as being highly orthodox in a disapproving way and conservative. And those who approach me should know that I have a strong position, strong disapproval of divorce, women's so-called liberation, and similar controversial topics. So if you're unhappy with that, then please don't take initiation from me. You have to be willing to hear from, obey, and be guided, instructed, and possibly chastised by me. And also you have to be willing to take that from those who I trust as my representative, my leading disciples. Point number five I put in this list is to have a general attitude of cooperation with ISKCON authorities. Now, there are various controversial issues around our society As you may know, recently the governing body commission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness passed a controversial resolution stating that there should be female Diksha Gurus, which I almost totally disagree with. Not totally. There is scope for that, but anyway, I don't want to get into discussing that all now, but I just want to inform you, because apparently several devotees are quite concerned that, well, what's going to be my response to all this? What am I going to do? Well, my response for the time being is to wait and see. I'm not going to make any major decisions just now. Apparently there is much concern about this among the leaders of ISKCON in India, and they apparently they plan to make some vigorous, or some of them plan to make some vigorous protest about this to the governing body commission. So let's just wait and see before we make any major decisions. But it very well could be a watershed in my relationship with the society of which I've been a member and working for most of my life, because it is a major change of direction, and there have been many things introduced which Srila Prabhupada didn't introduce. It's been called mission drift, and there has to be some point at which I'm talking about myself. Maybe others also think that, well, this society is so far from that which I joined, that there may be a point where you say, okay, enough is enough, and take an option to disassociate oneself from that society. So it is, these things are going on in the background, but I don't plan to make any major decision very soon. And whatever I do, or not do, I'll do in consultation also with the leading disciples of mine, whose lives are very much intertwined with my own. All of you, your lives are intertwined with my own, so I have to think of my disciples also, and not just take decisions based on what I personally think or feel, but I have to see also what my disciples think or feel. Getting back to this list I've given, those who wish to be my disciples, I want them to regularly participate in temple or Namhata programs, unless residing too far away, in which case they should otherwise perform sadhana in their residence. It may be also that although physically the devotees are not far away, but they may be conceptually far away from the temple that they're close to. So as I've heard it described in many cases, the devotees, if they go to the temple, they don't feel so very happy in the atmosphere that's produced there. So anyway, the point is that one should associate with devotees as far as possible. Especially as we heard, Narad Muni associated with those pure devotees who were able to communicate pure devotional service to him. So especially those kind of devotees we want to associate with. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula Bhakata Seva Parama Siddhi Prema Bhakti Prema Lati Kara Mula. We want to associate with the pure devotees. So if we find some difficulty in associating with devotees, then we can perform sadhana in our residence. But anyway, as we have heard a lot already during the short time that this camp's been going on, we can go on hearing, we can and we should go on hearing Srila Prabhupada regularly. We've heard this emphasized a lot. Read what Srila Prabhupada has to say and hear what he has to say. That will help us tremendously in whichever situation we're in. To have a humble service attitude toward Vaishnavas, that we're reading in this verse from Narad Muni, how by his humble service attitude toward the Vaishnavas, he was very much benefited, to have amicable dealings with the Vaishnavas, and not cultivate a tendency to fault finding. Now, it might be that some devotees think that I'm hypocritical in saying that, because I myself am considered a fault finder by some. But the point is here, and I've discussed this in my book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. A Vaishnava should not look for faults with the aim to deprecate others. But a Vaishnava at the same time should have enough intelligence to discriminate between what should be done and what should not be done. And I find myself in the situation where sometimes I have to point out for the benefit of my disciples that some of the things that may be presented in the name of Krishna consciousness are not what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So that in that case, it's not that I'm just trying to put others down, but we may require to do that, to point out to others that certain things which are going on in the name of Krishna consciousness are not what Srila Prabhupada introduced, not what he recommended, not recommended in Shastra. In fact, they therefore come under the category of deviations, and one should not participate in that. So that becomes required to point out various deviations, but it shouldn't be one's life and soul that one wakes up in the middle of the night and thinks, let me find out some fault in such and such a person. That should not be the motive. There are some members or ex-members of this society who are known almost exclusively for pointing out the faults in others. That is not very healthy. We want simply pointing out the faults in others, but we have to see what positive thing you have to offer also. If you simply point out this is wrong, that's wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong, but how is your own spiritual life? What are you doing to help push forward Srila Prabhupada's mission? What are you doing to develop it? How are you helping others to become more and more inspired to chant the holy names and to study Srila Prabhupada's books? So it may be necessary sometimes to point out various discrepancies, but that shouldn't be our life and soul. Our life and soul is hearing and chanting about Krishna and serving Srila Prabhupada's mission in the association of devotees. So here's another point. I want my disciples to have at least when one's initiated, one should have a basic understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy. So that means minimally one should read my book, The Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness, as well as the Bhagavad Gita as it is, The Science of Self-Realization, The Nectar of Devotion, and the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this should be completed at least a month prior to initiation, not that one's just rushing through at the last minute to read so that one can get initiated. But the idea is that if one studies these books of Srila Prabhupada, it's probably difficult for most people in the world today to read these books. As Mukunda Prabhu was pointing out this morning, the habit of reading, most people don't have that. He was saying in India people don't read, But there is a reading public here also. We're distributing books, and people buy them, so that means they have some, at least they have the idea to read it or to give it to someone else to read. There is a market for books in India. There's the misrepresentations of Shastra by Devdutt Pattanayak, for instance, is misrepresenting Lord Ram. Popular books. So there are people who are reading, but Srila Prabhupada's books are difficult to read. Not that the language is particularly difficult, but because they bang on us. They tell us we're wrong, we have to change ourselves. They recommend at every moment surrender to Krishna. So it's difficult for the conditioned soul to read these books. So I have this stipulation. You must have read these books before you take initiation. With the idea, if you do that much reading, then you'll get a taste for reading these books. And by reading, you'll get the taste, and then you'll go on and you'll want to read all the rest of them. Not that I read the books, I got initiation, okay, finished. But go on reading. Go on hearing. Of course, if someone is illiterate, that's another question. They can be initiated also, but they should be under the guidance of competent devotees. Here's a very important point that devotees, at least those who wish to be my disciples, they should be committed to honoring Krishna Prasad only and not eating karmi food. This has become a very bad habit, widely spread in our movement, that people who are supposed to be devotees and even leaders of this movement think that it's completely normal just to eat, to purchase some cooked food here and there and eat it. Maybe they remember to mumble a few mantras over it in the name of offering it and taking prasadam. But it's a very important principle of spiritual life, and it's a basic understanding of Vedic culture that the consciousness of the cook is transmitted to the person who eats the food he cooks. That's why in Vedic culture that who you can eat with, who you can take food from, according to caste, is a major consideration. And Srila Prabhupada described that even there were many brahmanas, Srila Prabhupada himself described, who they would cook daily for themselves, their own meal. They wouldn't take even from their own wife. There's a word, svapaki, means they cook for themselves and eat because they don't even want to take from their wife. They're so particular about that. So this is a very important point. Don't take food cooked by non-devotees, which means biscuits, bread, all these kind of things. Even in the temples, in the name of prasad, you have to see who's cooking. If it's hired cooks, or people are not properly following the principles, then that consciousness is going to affect you. Then another point, that our devotees, they shouldn't be watching all mundane things on TV, commercial, listening to commercial style bhajans, reading the books of Mayavadis or even of those of questionable devotees. This morning we heard how someone who was just a newcomer and was reading Srila Prabhupada's books questioned about one famous preacher who is ostensibly a member of this movement, that he's so famous, but why does he never say the name of Krishna in his talks? So even if someone is a member of ISKCON, don't listen to them if they don't repeat the message of the parampara. We don't need motivational speakers. We need motivational speakers to motivate us to be Krishna conscious, not to motivate us to become another idiot of the material world. There are already enough idiots promoting idiocy. So we should hear from devotees who, from their speaking, we can understand they're connected with the parampara because they speak the same message, not another message. Don't listen to others. Don't indulge in mundane sports or cinema, so many things. In other words, those who'd like to be my disciples, I'd like you to be a devotee. A devotee is distinguished from non-devotees by his activities and his attitudes, which is manifested in one's activities, which we also heard from Mukunda this morning. He was repeatedly making that point, that if we're actually hearing, then that will be manifested in our acting, what we do. Temple residents should rise daily by 4 a.m. There's no meaning to living in the temple if you don't get up and go to Mangalarti. Those who are in the congregational devotees, who are obliged to be part of the rat race society, because of the very nature of here in India, the people work until late, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and come back late. But as far as possible, should try to regulate our lives in such a way that we don't rise very late, so that we can utilize the morning hours for sadhana. Because as you may have experienced, if you don't get your sadhana in early in the morning, then it's very difficult to do later in the day, especially if you have a job to work at. If somehow or other you're regularly rising later than 5 o'clock, and I'm talking about congregational devotees here, because those who live in the temples, they should not rise later than 4 o'clock. That's Srila Prabhupada's order. So if you regularly rise late, then you can consider trying to adjust your lifestyle. I know it can be very difficult. It's difficult to get jobs. You may be obliged by the job, but the point is, we have to be serious about regulating our lives in such a way that we can be Krishna conscious. As far as possible, follow Vaishnava dress codes. That's why we have at our Shravan Kirtan camps like this, we want everyone to look like a Vaishnava. That helps us to feel like a Vaishnava. You may be wondering why I'm also banning taking of photos during the Kirtan. We're here to hear and chant about Krishna, not to take photos. I instituted this rule because otherwise, we found regularly in the kirtans there'd be about 20 or more devotees standing around with their cameras, their phones. But we're here to hear and chant about Krishna, not to take photos. There are a few devotees who are designated to take photos. Let them do it. Join in the hearing and chanting. Tilak, dhotis, saris, this. Long hair, mustaches, beards. Women, unless they're widowed, they should braid their hair and not cut it, the short hairstyle. Not good. You follow at least the dress codes of the Vedic culture. If one is resident in a temple community and unmarried, one shouldn't take any money. Makes sense, doesn't it? Paid brahmacharis, it's ridiculous, but it's going on. So don't be a babu brahmachari, do service on a contract. So some other points I've given. Congregational devotees should be under the guidance of at least one approved senior devotee who monitors their progress. I can't personally oversee every one of you. But you should be under the guidance of some devotees who can guide you, who are guided by, who are in regular contact with me, and then you can be guided by them. Those who are living in a home atmosphere where it's very difficult for them to practice devotional service, you have to see if you're going to be able to follow all the things that are required. If you're living in a home where the TV is blasting 24 hours, when you're under constant pressure to eat onions and garlic and maybe worse things, if your family members are very much against Krishna consciousness, if your spouse doesn't want to follow all the regulative principles, you better work these things out before coming for initiation, because it's going to be very difficult to, it may be very difficult to maintain Krishna consciousness in such an unfavorable atmosphere. So if you're going to take the vows, you have to be confident of being able to follow them. Similarly, if there is a young man, unmarried, who doesn't intend to be a brahmachari in an ISKCON ashram, he should aim to marry a devotee wife so that they can together serve Krishna. Similarly, for the women, those who are unmarried, if they get married to a husband who's not a devotee, who wants to engage in a life of sense gratification, then how are you going to be able to follow all the principles? You have to consider this. If you're not going to be able to follow the principles, then better don't take initiation. You have to consider very seriously. You can chant Hare Krishna in any situation, but if you're going to take this vow, you should be able to follow it. You should be confident that you're going to be able to follow it. There are some other points I've given which I'll skip over due to time considerations. These points are all on my website. Candidates should have full faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's important, isn't it? The initiation, it's not even so much one of 16 rounds and four regulated principles, but the basic principle is one of surrender to Krishna with full faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. So if one doesn't have this faith, or if one is affected by the impersonalism that is practically defines Hinduism, the idea that we are all God, there are many gods. If you're not convinced that Krishna's tu bhavan swayam, mataparaturam nanyat kinchid asti dananjay, that Krishna is supreme, and all the ekali ishvara, Krishna, are sabhabhritta, that all, there may be many demigods, but they're all servants of Krishna. If we're not convinced of this, or if we think that I myself can become God, that's of widespread contamination, is it not? I was recently doing a little research into, I was wondering how is it that Mayavadis can be interested in bhakti, which you sometimes see. So I came across something where the Mayavadi idea of bhakti is that in the first stage of bhakti, you think, I am his. And in the higher stage, you think, he is mine. Just like Yashoda Mai thinks that Krishna is my son. So first, I am his. Second stage, he is mine. Third stage, I am he. That's the Mayavadi idea. It's horrible, but it's widely spread. So we should not be victimized by this Mayavad in the name of Krishna consciousness. We should know very clearly that we are the eternal servant of Krishna, which we'll know if we study Srila Prabhupada's books regularly and carefully. So another common misconception, if you're taking initiation, means to accept a guru. So if we think that the guru is entirely non-different from Krishna, the guru is Krishna, that's another common misconception, that there's no need to worship God because the guru is God. We should understand that the guru is a jiva who constitutionally is on the same platform as myself, but we respect as good as God because he is the messenger of God, that's all. Or that after, the idea of merging into God, there are so many Hindu misconceptions that the non-differentiation between pious activities and pure devotional service, or trying to equate the two things. We're feeding the poor. That is devotional service. It's the same as bhakti. If we think like that, that feeding the poor is the same, it can be devotional service under certain circumstances, but it's not in and of itself. Even visiting holy places, it makes a lot of difference, the consciousness with which we come. If we visit a holy place with the consciousness that now I'm going to be freed of my sins and I'll become more pious and I won't have to suffer sinful reactions, that's materialistic. If we visit a holy place for the sake of associating with devotees, then that is bhakti. So we should know we have to know the difference between, even to be initiated, it means to make a commitment to living according to this understanding. So we should have that understanding before we take initiation. Not that, okay, I chant 16 rounds, follow four regulated principles, but still so many misconceptions in the mind. The basic misconception should be out and gone before initiation. Otherwise the initiation doesn't have much meaning. If we think that Mayavadis and so-called avatars, they're quite good. In some ways they may be good. It's a matter of perspective. In as much as, just as we find the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he met the Mayavadis of Varanasi. And because they were pious, when they heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message, they could take to it. They were doing pious activities. But prior to that, they were offenders to Krishna. They are offensive to Krishna. Those who think that Krishna is a product of Maya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Prakriti Koryamane. What is that? Prakriti Koryamane, Krishna. Who's that? Do you know, Kishore? Prakriti Koryamane, Vishnu Kaleva. Vishnu Ninda Nahi Iha Upa. Anyone who thinks that the form of Vishnu is something material, there is no more worse blasphemy than this. Or if we think that, similar things, social service and chanting the names of Krishna, it's all on the same platform. So I've made these standards. It is quite strict, you might say, but these standards are not meant to discourage or intimidate devotees, but to help get us on the right track. We shouldn't think that just by four regulated principles and 16 rounds without proper understanding that we're going to get the desired result, because Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us something different. Chaitanya Charitamrita states that Bahujanma kare jadi shravan kirtan tobutan napai Krishna pade prema dhan. That if we have an offensive attitude, that we can go on chanting and hearing for many lifetimes, but we won't get love of Krishna. So it is essential to be on the right track in our understanding. So these rules are not meant to discourage anyone in devotional service or to intimidate them, but to encourage sincere candidates to rise to a level that will make their initiation truly meaningful as a platform in which to advance in devotional service. Persons who don't want to come to this level, who don't want to follow all these things, then you please don't take initiation from me. There are so many gurus you can take initiation from. If you take initiation from me and you're not prepared to follow all this, I won't be happy with you, you won't be happy with me. So why bother anyway? If you think that anything in your life is more important than Krishna consciousness, if you think that it's a good thing that I should have a good career and become materially advanced and get lots of money, if you think that promoting India, Mera Bharat Mahan, all these things, if you're enamored by Indian nationalism, we have to develop the nation, we have to feed the poor so that their children can get educated and develop the nation. If all these ideas, if you think like this, then really it's better for you and for me that just don't come to me. Or if you want to get freed from these ideas, come to me. But if you want to maintain these ideas, then please don't come to me. It's ridiculous. If you're not truly committed to chanting 16 rounds every day and following the four regulated principles throughout your life, then don't come. If you want to become a famous preacher or a recognized kirtan leader or a well-known leader, big leader in ISKCON, just forget it. Be a big leader, but somewhere else, not here. I'll honor you from a distance. If you're looking at me now and thinking, I want to be like that sitting on a big seat and everyone's listening, don't come to me, because this is not the goal of life, to sit on a big seat and be honored by others. This duty has befallen me, but don't be enamored and think it's something very nice to sit on a big seat and be honored by others. That's not the goal of life. If you don't have full faith in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, including rejection of mundane welfare work, Mayavad, etc., then please don't come to me, because that's what I stand for. I stand for presenting Srila Prabhupada's teachings as he has given them and not introducing anything else. If you don't trust me to faithfully represent Srila Prabhupada, please don't come. If you suspect that I'm going to exploit you, I'm going to make you work hard and do some service and take your money for my own aggrandizement, if you don't trust me that I'm not going to accept you as a disciple, so for my own benefit, my own personal benefit, or add you to the list of numbers so I can say I'm ahead of this guru and I'm still trying to catch up with that one. This is my position in the league. So it's not a numbers game. Initiation is not a numbers game. If you're not prepared to obey me in all these things, then it's meaningless to accept initiation. So those who are about to be initiated, having heard all these things, if you haven't heard them previously, it might be a bit of a shock to you, but you can withdraw. There's no force. No one's being forced to take initiation. It has to be your own personal choice, made on the basis of knowing what you're doing. I'm not saying that don't be Krishna conscious or don't be initiated, but you could, if you think that all this is too much or too fanatical or whatever, you can be initiated by someone who's more merciful, as they say. Although personally, I'm skeptical about the value of initiating people who are not serious anyway. Because initiation means it's a commitment to be very serious in Krishna consciousness. But if you are convinced that you want to make your connection here, and you're prepared to do what is required to make that connection, then please come, be initiated, come forward in Krishna consciousness, and be a worthy follower of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.